For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter. And again, I urge you, if you value our work and want to help us get the message out, please share it, subscribe to it, and support it with a one-time or ideally a monthly donation. These videos don't make themselves. I also wave across the wide ocean to the good viewers in Singapore who've made it number 33 on our list of all-time views by jurisdiction. Hope you're not getting scorched, or sozzled, because the lead item in this week's newsletter is that if we made a drinking game based on media using scorch to describe warm weather, we'd be under the table by now, or under the weather. For instance, DW.com's, quote, Europe, scorching heat grips the continent, and, quote, vast swaths of Europe continue to reel under scorching summer temperatures, end quote. Or Axios's, quote, nearly 130 million people are under extreme heat warnings or advisories today as a heat dome continues to scorch the Midwest and East Coast, end quote. Or Bloomberg's, quote, China's scorching heat poses summer test for electricity grid, end quote. Or Castanet's, quote, scorching heat in Europe puts regions on high alert, end quote. Or the CBC's, quote, Ontario, Quebec, and large swaths of the U.S. battle scorching temperatures, end quote. Or France 24's, quote, Spain suffers scorching heat wave, end quote. The BBC throws in, scorching European heat wave turns deadly in Spain and France. And Climate Cosmos offers, quote, Europe's hottest summers, the 10 countries scorched by extreme heat waves, end quote. And the weird thing isn't just that everybody's using the same word, is they're all using a word that's obviously wrong. By any reasonable dictionary definition, scorching involves the surface at least being charred, burned, or otherwise blackened, and possibly broken. But if a country did get scorched, you wouldn't have to read a newspaper to know which one. As for, quote, the numbers don't lie, our planet's oceans are scorching hot, end quote, you literally cannot scorch water. Then there's this rant, quote, Europe scorched by record-breaking heat wave amid climate crisis, end quote. Which is wrong in that Europe is not scorched, it's not a record-breaking heat wave, and it's not a climate crisis because the things they say are happening are not. Including talk of, quote, the silent killer of extreme heat, end quote, that media keeps screaming about, though cold remains more deadly even in hot countries. And then there's, quote, countries including Spain, Serbia, and Slovenia have recorded historic highs, end quote. Really? Would that be the Serbia whose thermometer-era record high was set in 2007? The Slovenia whose equivalent dates to 2013? Or the Spain whose all-time modern instrument high was set in 2021 if you discard higher readings from 1978, 1926, 1881, and 1876 because they may not have been done right, unlike modern ones in the middle of vast stretches of urban asphalt and cement? Yes, indeed. So we ask whether that charred thing isn't your reputations. And also, was your thesaurus consumed in the conflagration? Because we also read, quote, temperatures to soar to 34 Celsius today, end quote. And then, to be outdone, MSN subsequently edited a headline, quote, Wimbledon fans warned us heatwave soars to 33 degrees Celsius, end quote. All soar, all the time, including this pathetic example, quote, where temperatures are set to soar to 28 degrees Celsius as another heatwave approaches, end quote. Soar? To 28 Celsius? We already knew you weren't climate scientists, but did you not even study English? 28 is 82.4 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about the temperature of a swimming pool. Even more pathetic is, quote, temperatures to reach 25 Celsius today in UK ahead of third heat wave beginning tomorrow, end quote. You just can't do a scare story about it reaching 77 degrees Fahrenheit in summer, but they tried. Meanwhile, in the real world, a Canadian airline sends us a promotion, quote, sunny days are ahead. Warm up to this sale on flights to our new sun destinations, Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Nassau, Grand Cayman, and Liberia, Costa Rica, end quote. So, let's get this straight. It's the hottest part of the year in Canada. Temperatures are soaring to scorching levels, and so we should emit vast clouds of carbon to go somewhere even hotter? Ah, and we also mock a story about how Canadian schools are not doing enough climate indoctrination. What, are they teaching Shakespeare instead? And from the nothing to see here folks file, Bloomberg emails climate leaders to watch, and then profiles four people you never heard of, and we dare say never will, including a, quote, top methane diplomat, end quote. Oh wait, he died. As for some advisor to the Indian Ministry of Finance, a chief product officer, and some random Arizona congressperson, quote, calling out the fossil fuel industry's influence in Washington, end quote, to borrow a phrase from Plunkett of Tammany Hall, could a search party find them today? Then, for a brief pleasant change of pace, on the subject of those disastrous floods in Texas that claimed well over 100 lives, the first thing we'd like to see is more stories like this one, quote, American hero, Coast Guard swimmer praised for saving 165 from flood at Camp Mystic, end quote. No, good feelings gone, the ghouls are back. A classic example being David Gelley's in the New York Times Climate Forward, writing, quote, it's too early to say with certainty that the slow-moving thunderstorms were made worse by man-made climate change, but the weather pattern that unleashed more than 10 inches of rain in a matter of hours is precisely the kind of phenomenon that scientists say is becoming more common because of global warming, end quote. So, it's too early, and it's grotesque. Watch us do it anyway. Even worse was the ever-present Frederike Otto, hat tip here to Roger Pilkey Jr., quote, given the huge amount of scientific evidence on the link between fossil fuel-driven warming and rainfall, we don't need to wait for an attribution study. Extreme downpours like these are exactly what science expects in a rapidly warming world, end quote. So, forget all that silly science, even our strange variety. The Canadian press was also quick off the mark with, is Canada ready for a new reality of flash floods? But are there more flash floods in Canada? Or does it no longer matter? Especially since Roger Pilkey Jr. also draws attention to the curious paradox that while the IPCC says that extreme precipitation does seem to have increased significantly in some places, it doesn't say flooding has increased. Moreover, he points out, statistically, there has been no increase in flash flooding in Texas in the last 20 years. So ghouls be gone. And another thing, while we're on the subject of attribution non-science, we routinely receive messages like, quote, climate change tripled heat deaths in European heat wave, end quote, which sound as though someone has a pile of facts, not a web of speculation. Especially when it intones that, quote, there is strong scientific consensus that climate change is increasing the frequency and intensity of heat waves globally, end quote. But where is this consensus? Who measured it and how? And who measured these deaths? Is it science or advocacy in a stolen lab coat? We're glad you asked. Sort of. That Statista item reveals that, quote, scientists from the Grantham Institute for Climate Change and the Environment at the Imperial College of London use models to, quote, estimate heat-related excess deaths under the actual observed slash forecast temperatures and conditions, end quote, and create, quote, a counterfactual scenario for which they deducted the estimated increase in heat extremes caused by a 1.3 degrees Celsius increase in global mean surface temperature, end quote. So, two hypothetical scenarios said that on a day when the mercury reached 33 degrees Celsius, deaths tripled compared to 31.7 degrees Celsius. Bosh. And who exactly are these scientists? Yep, it's our old enemies at World Weather Attribution, including, again, Frederike Otto. Which brings back an item in Nature that we've objected to previously, boasting the headline, quote, people were wrecking the climate 140 years ago, we just lacked the tech to spot it, end quote. Look, mate, you don't need tech to spot a wrecked climate if you're in the middle of it. And as for, quote, models suggest that human-caused global warming would have been detectable in the 19th century with today's know-how, end quote, this tech would have found a human footprint in the Eocene if you asked it to. The Climate Home news piece even included a comment from the usual suspect, laying bare the polemical rather than intellectual foundation of all of this. Quote, Frederike Otto, godmother of attribution science, said that being fast is vital, as straight after a heat wave is when people talk about it, end quote. Yes, her again. Scorch me a sore. Now for some real fun. Or not. Long ago, there were the red diaper babies of committed communists, whose sense of fun stretched from struggle all the way to Leninist reading circles. And now spare a thought for the kids of climate zealots at a climate camp described by Kara Buckley of the New York Times Climate Forward, where, quote, kids squirted one another with water at the stadium's water bottle refill station, learned about local environmental causes at nearby information tables, and raced about in team jerseys made of recycled fabric and t-shirts reading Climate Action Now, unquote. Whee! But what is one to make of, quote, an ode to joy in climate action, unquote? Is it Beethoven's Ninth Symphony played on a kazoo, or even a trumpet made of recycled plastic bottles? And now for the CDN idea of fun. Because this week, we start a new series on the tendency of climate science to have it both ways. A team of scientists says climate change is causing X. Another says climate change is causing not X. So, climate activists get to say that the science predicted whatever just happened, and that it's bad. But it also means the theory is not science, because it can't be falsified through testing, because it can't be tested. So, drawing on a list at What's Up With That, our series takes flight with a look at bird migrations. Because, you see, science has shown that birds are migrating longer distances due to climate change, which is bad, and that birds are migrating shorter distances due to climate change, which is bad. This stuff is for the birds, and there's more where it came from. And where this did. We recently reported on an important new study about where the extra carbon in the atmosphere is coming from, and we noted in passing that geochemist Dr. Matthew Wilicki has written a Substack essay about it. Now we take a deeper look at that essay, because the Earth's annual carbon cycle is massive, and our human CO2 emissions make up only a tiny fraction of the flows into and out of the atmosphere, some of which are poorly measured, then dogmatically stated. But CO2 coming from natural sources has an atomic fingerprint that differs from the stuff we get from burning fossil fuels, with more of the isotopes of carbon that are created by cosmic rays, particularly 13C and 14C, which decay and vanish if it's underground long enough, for instance, as oil. And on average, the CO2 in the air is gradually becoming more like the fossil fuel-based stuff, which has long been taken to mean that the increase in atmospheric CO2 is likely due to humans. As Wilicki writes, quote, early in my career, I was struck by the Suess effect, a shift in atmospheric carbon isotopes that seemed to pin the rise in CO2 squarely on fossil fuel combustion. The evidence was compelling. Burning ancient coal and oil, devoid of radiocarbon, 14C, and depleted in 13C, was diluting the atmosphere's isotopic ratios. It didn't make me fear catastrophic climate change, but it convinced me we humans were reshaping the atmosphere, end quote. But as Wilicki explains, over the past year, two studies have been published that show that the current carbon cycle models are inadequate. It's not just that this carbon from ancient rocks that are being weathered by rivers, quote, has an isotopic fingerprint identical to fossil fuels devoid of 14C and depleted in 13C, end quote. It's that there's way more of this stuff than we thought. So, will the gatekeepers of orthodoxy welcome this exciting new finding, or try to hush it up? And as usual, we wrap up our newsletter with a co2science.org archive, this one on Cornus florida L, or Eastern Flowering Dogwood, which grows throughout the eastern U.S. except, oddly, most of Florida. With pretty spring flowers, it's non-toxic to horses, and in 2000, a pair of experiments under low and high light conditions showed an average of 121.5% extra growth with an extra 300 parts per million of atmospheric CO2. So, if the climate policy crowd do make us switch to horse and buggy, at least our horses will have plenty of attractive shade. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I know Scorch from Gently Warm.